16. Gamble Dean Namarty was not, at even the best of times, noted for his politeness and suavity, and the approaching climax of a decade of planning had left his disposition sour. He rose from his chair with some agitation and said, "You've taken your time getting here, Anderin." Anderin shrugged. "But I'm here. And this young man of yours, this remarkable tool that you're touting, where is he?" "He'll be here eventually." "Why not now?" Anderin's rather handsome head seemed to sink a bit, as though he were lost in thought or coming to a decision. And then he said abruptly, "I don't want to bring him until I know where I stand." "What does that mean?" "Simple words in galactic standard. How long has it been your aim to get rid of Harry Seldon?"
"Always, always. Is that so hard to understand? We deserve revenge for what he did to Jojo. Even if he hadn't done that, since he's the First Minister, we'd have to put him out of the way."
"But it's Cleon, Cleon, who must be brought down. If not only he, then at least he, in addition to Seldon."
"Why does a figurehead concern you?"
"You weren't born yesterday. I've never had to explain my part in this because you're not so ignorant a fool as not to know. What can I possibly care about your plans if they don't include a replacement on the throne?"
Namarty laughed. "Of course. I've known for a long time that you look upon me as your footstool, your way of climbing up to the imperial throne.
Would you expect anything else?"
"Not at all. I will do the planning, take the chances, and then when all is quite done, you gather in the reward. It makes sense, doesn't it?"
"Yes, it does make sense, for the reward will be yours, too. Won't you become the First Minister? Won't you be able to count on the full support of a new emperor, one who is filled with gratitude? Won't I be?" And his face twisted with irony as he spat out the words, "The new figurehead."
"Is that what you plan to be, a figurehead?"
"I plan to be the emperor. I supplied advances of credit when you had none. I supplied the cadre when you had none. I supplied the respectability you needed to build a large organization here in Y. I can still withdraw everything I've brought in."
"I don't think so."
"Do you want to risk it? Don't think you can treat me the way you treated Kasparov, either. If anything happens to me, Y will become uninhabitable for you and yours, and you will find that no other sector will supply you with what you need."
Namarty sighed. "Then you insist on having the Emperor killed?"
"I didn't say killed. I said brought down. The details I leave to you." This last statement was accompanied with an almost dismissive wave of the hand, a flick of the wrist, as if Anderin were already sitting on the imperial throne.
"And then you'll be emperor."
"Yes."
"No, you won't. You'll be dead, and not at my hands either. Anderin, let me teach you some of the facts of life. If Cleon is killed, then the matter of the succession comes up, and to avoid civil war, the Imperial Guard will at once kill every member of the Wyan mayoralty family they can find, you first of all. On the other hand, if only the First Minister is killed, you will be safe."
"Why?"
"A First Minister is only a First Minister. They come and go. It is possible that Cleon himself may have grown tired of him and arranged the murder. Certainly we would see to it that rumors of this sort are spread. The Imperial Guard would hesitate and would give us a chance to put the new government into place. Indeed, it is quite possible that they themselves would be grateful for the end of Seldon."
"And with the new government in place, what am I to do? Keep on waiting? Forever?"
"No. Once I'm First Minister, there will be ways of dealing with Cleon. I may even be able to do something with the Imperial Guard, and even with the security establishment, and use them all as my instruments. I will then manage to find some safe way of getting rid of Cleon and replacing him with you."
Anderin burst out, "Why should you?"
Namarty said, "What do you mean, why should I?"
"You have a personal grudge against Seldon. Once he is gone, why should you run unnecessary risks at the highest level? You will make your peace with Cleon,
and I will have to retire to my crumbling estate and my impossible dreams. And perhaps, to play it safe, you will have me killed."
Namarti said, "No. Cleon was born to the throne. He comes from several generations of emperors, the proud Entun dynasty. He would be very difficult to handle, a plague. You, on the other hand, would come to the throne as a member of a new dynasty, without any strong ties to tradition, for the previous Wayan emperors were, you will admit, totally undistinguished. You will be seated on a shaky throne, and will need someone to support you. Me. And I will need someone who is dependent upon me, and whom I can therefore handle. You. Come, Andoran, ours is not a marriage of love, which fades in a year. It is a marriage of convenience, which can last as long as we both live. Let us trust each other."
"You swear I will be emperor?"
"What good would swearing do if you couldn't trust my word? Let us say I would find you an extraordinarily useful emperor, and I would want you to replace Cleon as soon as that can safely be managed. Now, introduce me to this man you think will be the perfect tool for your purposes."
"Very well. And remember what makes him different. I have studied him. He's a not very bright idealist. He will do what he's told, unconcerned by danger, unconcerned by second thoughts. And he exudes a kind of trustworthiness so that his victim will trust him, even if he has a blaster in his hand."
"I find that impossible to believe."
"Wait till you meet him," said Andoran.